Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we continue our Infinity Saga rewatch with Iron Man 3. Merry Christmas, new believers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Ashley Coffin.
Merry Christmas, Ashley.
Merry Christmas, Matt.
Happy holidays, any of those people out there who are not celebrating Christmas. But this is a Christmas movie. Oh. And so I'm really glad we landed on this week to cover it.
We said this months ago, and I really can't believe it just happened to work out. I mean, we kind of made it work out because we're like, oh, there's nothing to do but do the rewatch now, which was perfect. And it just happened to land.
Yeah, we were like, hey, it's a good break. And we probably wouldn't have, we had been doing them like every other week because we were doing like news episodes or whatever. And then every other week doing one. But like we realized if we did them every week, we'd get to this one. And you know, it's funny. I went to look back at our previous Iron Man episode. And it is also, we called it the Iron Man 3 Holiday Special or whatever, because we also happened to be able to make it land on on Christmas. Yeah.
Because if we would have missed this week, next Monday is Christmas and the following Monday is Christmas Day. I don't know when we have to find some time. You know, the holiday season starts, you don't have any time to cast. Yeah. So it's just pretty perfect.
Yeah. And of course, we have What If starting on the 22nd. So we're just going to be doing for the next 2 weeks. Yeah. Yeah. I do.
Yeah, I'm going to apologize to everyone now. I'm home alone with this cat monster, and there's nothing I can do about it. There is an angry cat, everybody.
Cat is angry that you're podcasting, yeah, and wants
Krampus
all that attention.
Back there is throwing a fit.
Well, so, Iron Man 3, it's here. I really, really, really freaking love this movie in many ways, but I will say, upon a rewatch, the thing that I realized about this movie, and I think it might be one of the reasons this one's not as beloved, is that it is not nearly as rewatchable as a lot of the other Marvel movies.
That's true.
Because, specifically, the entire movie is like a riddle of mysteries. It's like all kinds of mysteries on mysteries on mysteries on mysteries. And it's a really well-structured mystery that gives you all the clues you need to solve it before it gets solved, you know? He even says, like, they give you so many cool clues. And I love watching a mystery play out that way. And on a second watch, this movie is awesome because you're like, oh, that's when they're hiding. When they're calling him Master, or no, yeah, they call him the Master. They're doing it kind of tongue-in-cheek because they're doing it like, oh, yeah, the Master over here. Like, yeah. It's real. You can kind of even hear it in their voices. Like, it's not just that mystery, but all the mysteries throughout the whole movie are so well laid. And Shane Black loves to make little mystery, like, gumshoe stories.
He did Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Robert Downey Jr., which is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I think all those mysteries, though, granted, on a second watch, they start to wear, though. Like, after I've seen it, maybe, I don't know how many times I've seen this movie, but really sitting down, I tend to watch this movie in chunks for just the cool factor. I think it's a very cool movie.
Yeah.
Like, it's got, like, great cool scenes, but, like, sitting down to really watch the entire thing, it's kind of, it feels more boring because, like, I know everything that's happening.
I message you today?
Yeah, you were like, this one feels long. And I agree.
55 minutes. We were at the one certain part, and I was like, how do I have 55 minutes left? And then I thought I was much farther when I looked again. And that's when I messaged you, like, I cannot believe I still have 35 minutes left from where we are. Yeah. But it's not that it's not fun.
No.
It is fun. I honestly think that this might be the funniest, at least of the Iron Man movies with the humor.
I agree.
It goes to some dark places in this one, and I absolutely love it.
Yes. Well, and it's the most adult, too. Like, you were saying, it's dark places, but it is, like, there are some lines that I'm actually kind of surprised. When he tells the kid not to be a pussy, I was
I have that in my notes. That is probably my favorite line in all 35 movies. Because it's just so out of nowhere. Like, you were just stuffing a pussy about it. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And it's, like, it's so over the top that, like, Tony would say it, and he says it with his tongue in his cheek, knowing that, like, it's such a bad thing to say to a kid that it makes it funny. And, like, it's great. It's just beautiful.
It parallels him, you know.
Yes.
Everybody's parents are dead, kid. At least in the MCU.
Yeah, for sure.
I would say this really, I see this as a sequel to the Avengers more than, you know, a sequel to the Iron Man movies, because it's Tony dealing with his relationship with Pepper and the other people in his life, and if he doesn't want to be Iron Man anymore. And that's what I like about this one the most, is you get a lot of sequences in the film that's just Tony Stark being Tony Stark.
Oh, for
besides
sure.
Besides him not being in the Iron Man suit. And that goes back to one where it's like, oh, well, you just have to MacGyver everything. And they really lean into the genius, billionaire, philanthropist, playboy, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, go ahead and do it. And we all can, you know, relate to that Tony Stark. But the best thing is that his consequences in the past have, like, you know, they can come back to bite you. And they really do in this one. And that's like, don't be an asshole. You know, be nice to people. And even if you think it was 25, 13, whatever years ago, whatever year that Blue Dabba Dabba song came, when that starts in the beginning of this, I have memories of it. And then I go, oh.
Yeah, it's 1999 because they make the Y2K joke.
Yes.
Because when he jumps on Tony and says, it's not Y2K, when that bomb, when the extremist blows up in the room.
Happy dressed like John Travolta from Pulp Fiction just, it kills me every time. The bolo and everything.
That's totally like what Happy would do. Like to, he'd see that movie and be like, oh, that's my new attire. I love it. Yeah, I think that like this is, I think, probably the most adult Marvel movie. It feels like, I don't know, other adult rated, almost like it feels like a rated R action movie. Like it's not. But, like, it feels like one. It feels like it was made with adults in mind. It doesn't feel like a kid's movie at all.
Which is funny that it's a holiday movie.
Yeah.
And I will say, after this viewing, it is a holiday movie. Because within 5 to 10 minutes in every scene, it's either mentioned or shown that it is
Christmas. Oh, yeah. Shane Black loves making all his movies set at Christmas. And I think it's this thing of, like, it gives... Christmas gives everything this extra layer of nostalgia and emotion to it. Mm-hmm. And so I think some directors just love to set things at Christmas no matter what the themes are.
It might help with what you were saying earlier about it not being so rewatchable, but when you see this pop up on your like holiday, you go to Disney Plus and it's like holiday movies and Iron Man 3 is there, you're like, yeah, I would much rather watch that over, you know, Dipsy Doo and the whatevers do Christmas.
Dipsy, you know, Doo and
you're
the
like,
whatevers.
Come on, kids, let's Iron Man. And then it's this one.
Yeah. It is pretty brutal. And that's something I put in my notes, is just that how scrappy the fight scenes are. And you mentioned there's a lot of Tony. There's a lot of like fighting out of the suit and then fighting in like half suits. And I love that. I absolutely love like his suits are just falling apart. And like that final scene, especially, they do a lot of things to just take everything away from Tony. And epitomized by the moment where he's dragging the suit and trying to get it to the garage where he's going to work on it. But he's just dragging it through the snow, and it's just such a sad scene.
It's brisk.
It's brisk. But when Jarvis actually like goes away and says, I think I need to sleep now. I was like, oh man, it's like really, he's like, don't leave me, buddy. And it's really sad. It's really, really like, I feel the loss of just, he's lost everything. He's in the middle of nowhere in the snow with his suit, and he takes it off. And it's there's something very poetic also about the fact that like he's so addicted to the suits. And that's like what a lot of what this movie's about, that he drags the suit with him. He could easily have just run to the nearest town, you know what I mean? And like gotten things going, or even gotten a truck and gone back. But he drags that suit, and it's like, no, I need this. This is my, it's almost like a comfort blanket thing where he's just like, nope, I'm not leaving this suit behind. You know?
Yeah. My doubt, like the only nitpick that I do have about this, and I'm not going to bring it up a lot because you can say it about all the movies, is you're just like, the stakes were really high in this. People on the news saw Tony Stark's house, you know, get blown up. The president's been kidnapped. Where's S.H.I.E.L.D.? Where's Nick Fury? And I feel like when Tony would have been missing and thought dead, somebody might have stepped up to go save the president besides Rhodey. Yeah. I don't know, but I'm not, you can't bring that up because it, you know, you're like, where was, what's his face in Winter Soldier and this and that? Like, he could have called somebody.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. It's one of those things of like, to head, like my explanation for that, at least the him being dead thing. If he's really dead, then like, if the news says you're dead, it's time to grieve. It's not really time to like, come see what's going on.
But you there's know, a like, terrorist that, you know, killed him. They're the Avengers. They're going to avenge Tony Stark.
Yeah. And you'd think Cap would be like, on the case of the Mandarin too. You know what I mean?
Right, right. But that's okay. It's okay. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, but who knows what S.H.I.E.L.D. has Cap off doing. Like, he may be off doing some other thing. I wonder if they're doing a similar thing that they did with, you know, in the first phase, they make it all the same week. It's all, like, packed together. I wonder if maybe the events of Winter Soldier are happening around the same time, and he's off, like, on the run or whatever.
Sure. Was it Christmas?
No, I don't think it was Christmas.
I didn't see one Christmas tree in Winter Soldier.
You're right.
And they were in D.C.
Yeah.
They need to go back and just digitally put trees everywhere. And then you can say it was fine.
Exactly.
So Christmas lights.
Yeah. It's still, even if it wasn't that movie, obviously it wasn't. It's like anything can be going on. You know, like these could be on any kind of mission or whatever. And like the Hulk isn't a save the president kind of call. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. No.
And then Thor is off.
S.H.I.E.L.D. planet. Would be though.
Yeah, right? For sure. You'd think. You'd think S.H.I.E.L.D. would at least be involved in this story somewhere.
The president's been taken.
Yeah. But it is very very insular. And I really wonder if this was at some point planned to be the final appearance of Tony Stark as Iron Man. Because there's a lot of like, let's wrap up my story. Of course, the suits get blown up. I never noticed this, but there is a line right before the suits blow up, and I never really caught it, but he tells Pepper, I'm going to trim it down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I think I understand why you like the suits so much. What am I going to complain about now? And he says, you know what? I'm going to shave them down a little bit. And then he blows them all up. And of course, at the end, he picks up the screwdriver. And he talks about how his suits were like a cocoon that he worked through. And so, his next appearance, he's working on Ultron. So, like, it does kind of make sense that he's like working towards something else, something bigger. But he does say, I'm going to shave it down a little bit, which we always talk about him destroying his suits. But like, he shaves it down. That doesn't mean he's ever going to bring one back. But I noticed that line, but I also noticed that line was ADR'd. Like, he's turned away from the camera, and it doesn't sound the same. Like, I think that line might have been added in post to show, like, if we bring it back, it's not a huge problem. Like, he shaved it down a little bit instead of saying, like, I'm quitting being Iron Man. He never actually says that. He kind of alludes to it.
Well, what is weird about it is those two, like, Tony and Pepper seem like they're in such a good place, and then I guess Ultron happens or whatever, and that's why she chooses to take a break, and then Civil War happens and she moves out, but there's no like, well, Ultron was a big, you know, well, that was his fault. I don't know. They just seem like they were in a much better place at the end of this, and we never really get to see like, what, that's me just wanting to see background stuff. And like, I want to see Tony and Pepper fight. Why aren't they together? I want to know what happened.
Yeah. Is it in...
What couldn't they work out? We don't see her again until Spider-Man Homecoming.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't... Well, last week we were talking about it, and I think we got it wrong, maybe. We were talking about what movie she was in. But yeah, she's not in a...
Not Homecoming. What is Homecoming?
Yeah, she's in Homecoming at the very end.
And then they go from Civil War being completely broken up to Homecoming, where he's proposing.
Mm-hmm. She's not in Ultron?
No.
Okay. I also really always wonder if Pepper still has the abilities, the extremist abilities, because they get it stable to get her to survive, but like... Did they take it out of her, or is she just like a secret extremist person?
That would have been cool in Infinity War or whatever.
Right? When she's like if they'd like blown off her arm in the rescue suit and it like grows back as like an extremist arm, it would have been like,
everyone would have freaked out.
Yeah.
I freaked out when I first saw this, and I thought that I was like, oh, they really killed Pepper. Wow, that's it seemed ballsy. Like they did, for real. I was surprised. There was a few things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they didn't really do it.
Speaking of their relationship and everything, like the one part of this that feels so visceral and scary is when the Iron Man suit comes and grabs her in bed.
Oh my God. I wouldn't be able to sleep in the house with that.
Yeah.
I'm leaving tonight. She just went downstairs. That's closer to them.
Yeah, it was absolutely terrifying. It just like the, yeah, just like it feels like, I don't know, like he's got a weapon in the house that's not well secure or whatever, you know, like it's like, oof, oof.
What do you mean you got to calibrate it?
Yeah.
Calibrate this.
Terrible, terrible. Speaking of sleeping poorly, I hear you've been sleeping better.
I have been sleeping like the dead, Matt.
Yeah.
I am, it's hard to admit sometimes when you have some flaws, but you know, I'm a sweater. I am a horrible night sweater and it is a problem. And I have tried every kind of bed sheet and every kind of cotton, you know, whatever thing you can get, sleep pants, blah, blah, blah. Nothing works. And I had no idea that I just wasn't using the right kind of bed sheets, like Miracle bed sheets. It has changed my sleeping. Like today I didn't get out of bed till 11. Today's my day off. I slept all night. Usually I would have to get out of bed at like early morning just because I'd be sweating. You're like, okay, well, now the whole bed's disgusting. I'm disgusting. I have to get a shower and there's no going back to bed after that. So yes, the Miracle sheets have really changed my experience with sleep.
I'm with you. I absolutely love them. Miracle Made bed sheets. They are infused with silver and it provides them a self-cooling properties that like keep your bed a great temperature for sleep. They're nice and secure. You feel covered up, but you don't feel that just sweaty stickiness. It's really, really nice. They're also self-cleaning because of that same silver feature. It cuts down 99.7% of bacterial growth, and they're just really, really high quality sheets designed for your skin and like designed to keep that bacteria away. It helps from having breakouts and all kinds of things. Really, really great, really awesome holiday gift. If you're looking for a gift for somebody, you really should check out Miracle Made.
They have great colors too.
Yeah, they do. And they're just high quality stuff. Like,
yeah.
Even all the other like sciencey, like whatever, like NASA inspired stuff is amazing. It's cool and it feels like high tech and I feel like James Bond when I get in my sheets.
I'm sleeping in silver.
Yeah, I'm sleeping. It's like Iron Man sheets or something. Yeah. But but they just feel like I'm getting into, you know, a really, really great hotel sheets that like really high thread count, whatever. They just feel amazing. They really, really feel amazing. Go to trymiracle.com/MCU to try it today or gift it to someone special this holiday season. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Save over 40%. And if you use our promo code MCU at checkout, you'll get 3 free towels and save an extra 20%. Mm-hmm. Miracle is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you aren't 100% satisfied, you'll get a full refund. Upgrade your sleep with Miracle Made. Go to trymiracle.com/MCU and use the promo code MCU to claim your free 3-piece towel set and save over 40% off. Again, that's trymiracle.com/MCU to treat yourself, a friend, or loved one this holiday season. Speaking of treating a loved one, this movie, Happy gets hurt.
He does.
And like, it's a really, it adds a lot of emotional weight because Happy's just his best friend. And like, they have such a silly relationship. He's a very comical character. But there's so much, it's funny because he's normally a lot of the comic relief, but there's so much comic relief in this movie without him, you know, with him taken off the board for the majority of it.
Their quips are funny together, though. Is this the forehead of security? but it must have been, for Shane Black, difficult. Like, this is the first one that Favreau is not directing, you know, and you now have to direct him, the director of the first one. This is Marvel's diamond baby, you know?
Yes. Like, it had to have been a big thing, and a hard challenge. I mean, and, you know, a lot of people don't like this movie.
It's 50-50, yeah.
Yeah, it's very like, a divisive one for the fandom. And I really think a lot of that has to do with the change in tone.
I like it.
Yeah, I do too. To me, it feels a little Phase 4-y to me, in that it is a specific tone. So many Marvel movies, like, it started out very specific, But like in phase two, things started to like sort of homogenize. Things started to look similar. The directing styles and the writing styles and the structure and the tone have sort of like become this Marvel. Marvel used to be a little more diverse, and it became this very Marvel tone.
Right.
Well, then
right.
like I think in phase four, they've really tried to break out of that and do different things and try new tones. But like this one is an outlier in that it doesn't feel like the Marvel tone. It feels like Lethal Weapon or something. You know, it feels like a weird, like, I don't know, 80s action movie.
Yeah, well, it's not some huge action epic until, I don't know, the last 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why this one's not like the other ones. And it's got more of that, I don't know, pizzazz. I laughed the whole time and I forget. But then when the one chick, I didn't catch her name, the one chick who's like Homeland Security, but she's one of the glowy people, kills the sheriff in the bar. That's mm-hmm. when you're like, whoa, wait a
yeah.
minute.
Yeah, when she kills him, it's really brutal. And then Iron Man blowing through that guy's chest with his reactor and then saying, what does he say? Like, come back from that or something like that. As he like, and it's like, ooh, that was brutal. And it was like, you had to have a one-liner after you killed that guy by blowing his chest up.
That's why I was like, why are we filming this scene in a Colombian drug lord's Miami mansion? Like, how did we even get here? Like, I get that's where they were keeping Trevor, but you don't, all of a sudden you're like, wait a minute, why are we around palm trees? I know they said it was Miami, but it does. It just, we see a very, like, every 40 minutes is like a different movie in this movie.
Yeah. No, there's tons of scenery changes. And that's what I was saying earlier. Like, I haven't really rewatched this from beginning to end very often, but it is one that I'll throw on and have, like, just watch a few scenes of, and so many of the scenes do well at standing alone. It has kind of that like comic book quality of like each act sort of feels like its own little story, its own little narrative with its own little arcs and different reveals and things that are adding to the mystery as the whole story goes on. You know, I love this movie, but again, I do think it's less rewatchable. It's weird because I'm watching this, I was like, I'm remembering all the reasons I do love it, but also watching it going like, yeah, these scenes don't hit as hard when I know all the mysteries are have been revealed to me.
We had enough time, I think, at this point to sit and deal with the fact that they punked us on the Mandarin, because I remember being upset and annoyed about, not upset because I still like the movie, but being like, hey, that's not the Mandarin. Like, wait, what is going on? And then it's not even Ben Kingsley being the Mandarin. It's Guy Pearce, who I'm not buying mm-hmm. him as the Mandarin. He could have been any other villain. Yeah. You didn't even need to bring the Mandarin into this right. and have him be a part of it. It would have been cool if Trevor Slattery was hired by somebody else and then we never found out who that was, you right. know?
Yeah.
But they chose not to do that.
I love the misdirect in this movie, and I did the first time I watched it, but I don't care about the Mandarin in comics at all. I have no right. connection to that character. So watching the movie, I was just, I knew this wasn't the version. I did not care about Trevor Slattery being the Mandarin. Or not, you know, being an actor. And like, I loved it. I thought it was a beautiful twist. It also, like, 4 years they had been talking about how are they going to handle the Mandarin? Because it's sort of this, mm-hmm. like, character that's, like, steeped in a lot of, like, racism in the early comics. And, like, are they going to do that? Like, and to make him this, like, just sort of, like, global terrorist that doesn't really have a country was interesting. And then, like, to turn it on its head was yeah. amazing. I loved it. I totally get
no, that part. Jeff was, feels the yeah, same that way. That part, it was great. They did it so much better in Shang-Chi.
Oh, yeah.
If they had just waited and didn't reveal anything about the Mandarin. Because just having Guy Pearce and then, you know, having him just have the dragon tattoos out of nowhere. He's like, I yes. am the Mandarin. I was like, oh, my God, Guy Pearce. You and your veneers can sit down.
That is exactly what I was going to say. Is like, I think it totally works until that final scene where Guy Pearce loses his shirt.
Yeah.
Like, and it's fine, whatever, dragon tattoos is kind of weird. And then, like, him saying, I am the Mandarin makes no sense in that context. Because the Mandarin is not, like, a thing that anyone cares about in this context. The Mandarin is just a thing a think tank came up with to misdirect the public. Like, I am the Mandarin means nothing in this context.
Yeah.
It's stupid. It's the, like we always talk about what we would change. That scene should have been something like, him again talking to Tony about having abandoned him on that rooftop and how, yes, like you it should have been him like speechifying about how like you underestimated me. I'm going to kill you now, and you never thought I would be your end, you know. You didn't respect me, but that sort of a thing. And instead, I am the Mandarin is like stupid. It's really, really stupid. It's the worst part of the movie.
Agreed.
So yeah, I kind of forgot that was even in there. And when I watched it, I was like, yeah, I get why people don't like that Guy Pearce is the Mandarin, because he's not. And it's like sort of this stupid thing he says. Yeah, it's just dumb. I like it.
And I like Guy Pearce. Like, I think I've always thought he was attractive, but God, he plays a creep so well that now anything he's in, he's a creep. Like, I'll have to think back to that movie where he saves these lion cubs. It was called Two Brothers. It came out like in the 2000s. And I'm like, oh, you were so sweet in that, because God, he's a creep in everything. And I do like him. But now I'm just like, ugh, Guy Pearce. I'm like, why are you doing that to that man, Ashley? He's fine. The way he was on the table, man, with her. Just the way, men sometimes, like making sure he's constantly touching her when he's trying to explain it to her. And you're just like, stop touching her.
Yeah. I'm
definitely with Happy.
Yeah. Yep. He's very good at being creepy, and both kinds, like the one at the beginning who's like, who it's revealed that he used to ask her out all the time at work.
Yeah.
When they were younger or whatever. And he was like kind of the geeky guy that didn't have boundaries, you know, but then like also now it's like, you can take the kind of look off of him, but he's still just a creepy dude, you know, like both versions of him. His internal life is just creepy.
I love Rebecca Hall in this. I think she's a great actress, but I do feel like she's kind of underdeveloped. Mm-hmm. I feel like she's one of the side characters that gets left out. I would have liked to see more about her versus, you know, Killian, whatever, but you know, what are you going to do? But I thought Cheadle shined. It's like they gave different times to different people.
Cheadle shines, and like as a banter partner for Tony, like in a way we don't really ever get to see otherwise. Like Iron Man 2, they do it a little bit, but man, Iron Man 3, like them like running up into the docks just as people in plain clothes, like
yeah,
it's so good. It's so much fun.
He's like, "What'd you see?" He's like, "Nothing. I went too fast." I love that part so much.
Oh, I love it. I love it so much. And I love, you think he took out the light on purpose? Nobody can hit a lamp from that distance. And then he goes, it does it. And he's like, yeah, it's just really good. It's just really, really funny. And Rhodey, though, without a suit, I know he's a military man.
Oh, I love
it. But he is a soldier, man. He is like killing it. He, when he like
leaps out.
Yeah, when he's up on that thing and he flips, he like, when he gets the president, is like one of the most over the top action sequences a human performs in the MCU. Like, not a super soldier. He's doing like Captain America style stuff when he's hanging off that shipping container and there's two extremist soldiers walking towards him, and he like fires the gun, dropping them into the fire and swinging his way across, grabbing the president, firing his gun to like release the cable. Have you ever seen Shoot 'Em Up?
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. His like gun proficiency scene.
He's like, I eat a lot of carrots, and then pow, pow, pow. It was a little, him and Tony were a little ridiculous in that end scene, but it's the end battle scene. I'm like, okay, guys.
Tony does a lot of like clever things in this movie when he's not. He
slides down the whole side of one of those things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So some of it's absolutely bonkers. Yeah, I love it. But like, I think Don Cheadle's or like Rhodey's stuff is even more over the top than Tony. Like, he is like, that whole thing is like something out of a Arnold Schwarzenegger movie or something. I don't know.
The most iconic part of this movie is Joan Rivers making fun of Iron Patriot in the beginning. She is just ripping him up. They'll just throw a paint job on him and we just think he's someone different. Okay. I was like, they're really going hard on this one.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I like when he jumps out of the suit when they start warming it up. Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, oh, I'll get you out somehow. He's like, don't open. All right, let's go. I'm like, that's my roadie.
All right, it's time. And he breaks out and starts just melee and all those guys. This is really, really great. Yeah, there's just a lot of really good action in this one. And I don't think of it as the most action-laden one. It's a lot less heavy on, like, the big CGI set-piece action and a lot more, like, I don't know, humans do it. I mentioned it earlier, but, like, the when there's, like, half a suit on and, like, in the last thing suit Tony's in the movie, he's, like, falling off of the cranes and one of his legs is completely exposed.
Yeah.
And as...
You're like, you're fine.
Well, as, like, a 40-year-old person watching that scene, I'm like... He's, like, real protective of his leg, because, like, your leg... I don't know, there's something about, like, you watch an action movie and there's a lot of believability with the when these people... There's this suspension of disbelief where you're like, oh, it's fine that they jumped off a thing and landed. But in real life, you'd be like, oh, they'd shatter their knees or
completely,
whatever.
Completely, yeah.
But there's something about the fact that, like, he's wearing the suit, so you know this is a world he needs the suit to not... die, you know what I right. mean, like to not die doing all these things. So when one body part is exposed, it feels like really vulnerable, you know what I mean? And so when he's falling, there's no leg on his suit and his other leg keeps trying to like kind of catch his fall, like, so he's it's so cool, really well done and really visceral action sequences.
It reminds me of the end when Infinity War, when Thanos rips off the helmet and he's just like, ugh, and then he nanos it back up. But back then, yes. You didn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
It is cool to see every Iron Man movie. It does progress his way he changes into Iron Man. And it's never an easy ride. Like, I love, they give us the scene where he's doing the superhero pose and the last, like, bots come in to get him. Or the Iron Man suit, what was it, like, Mark 93?
Yeah.
I don't remember. But then it just shatters into a million pieces, and he's like, whatever.
Oh, yeah. The 42.
This is the funniest Marvel movie.
The Mark 42. I do think it is like really, really slapstick funny in places, and like just really, really, just the timing. Shane Black's timing is amazing. And yeah, really, really good. I loved, this was just something that like revealing about where he was in his relationship with Pepper when she asks him, What are you doing? What is that, Mark 15 now? That's crazy. And he says, yeah, something like that, and kind of covers up the 42 on it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a really, like, that's such addiction behavior. Like, even, like, if you're playing a phone game too much, and your partner, like, you get to the point where you're doing it so much, you know it's a shameful thing, and your partner's like, how long did you play that today? Oh, just 30 minutes or something. No big deal. Nothing. Like, and you've been sitting there for 7 hours just like making blocks disappear or whatever. But it's like, it's interesting because it's him not being honest with her in a way. Because he's like, but it's also like, that's addiction behavior. You're addicted to something and you're too ashamed to share it with your partner how addicted you are.
I do feel like we see a lot of growth in him because it doesn't take him too long to be like, No, come back. I have a problem.
Yes. Oh, I love that too. I love it so much. Because that's real. Like,
yeah.
She's walking out of the room. He's like, no, I really don't want us to have this. Like, I don't want this between us. Like, I'm having a hard time admitting this to myself and to you, but I don't, it's now causing issues between us and I need to like, we need to just have this talk, you know?
Yeah. I don't know how angry I'd be about, you know, there being just a Iron Man bot around doing stuff that I wanted him to do for me. You know, you don't have to pretend to be in it, but like a back rub, as long as it's not going to break my neck, you know, at least I'll go out doing what I love.
Receiving back rubs.
Yeah, but there's so much trauma dealt with in this, like Pepper, but also Tony. And I feel like them really showing like the severity of a panic attack over and over again, like we're really seeing him go through it in a way that they don't talk about much. Like it's always like, Cap's got to deal with, oh, I've been asleep for years and I don't know what's going on. And that was like, you know, all the horrible stuff that happened. And that, you know, they trained me to be a killer and this and that. And Tony's like, I have for real panic attacks because aliens, monsters, this and that. This is not something that I have ever dealt with. And I love that they do that with his
God's
character.
Aliens and I'm just a man in a can, he says.
Yeah. And he's not wrong. Like, even if you're a billionaire, you don't have the, you have these, everybody has their own trials, you know, to deal with. But panic attacks would absolutely be something that someone like him would be experiencing and thinking like, I got poisoned. Am I dying? What happened? And they're like, you're fine. You just need to breathe.
And that's parallels very well. The experience of panic attacks that I've heard, people that I've known who've had panic attacks is a lot of them times they go thinking it's a heart attack, or they think it's this, they think it's something physiological, and then they realize it's just their brain. And that's such a, it's such a great scene when he falls to his knees trying to figure that out. And I love the line. It's like, I believe it's just a severe panic attack. And he goes, me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm the guy who, you know, I don't have that. I deal with everything that comes at me. You know, he just, or extreme anxiety attack. He's like, I have anxiety. I'm not the guy with anxiety. You know, it's just a really great moment. Ugh, love it.
That's why I love that little kid, that little monster leans in like, how'd you get out of the wormhole? Yeah. It's like, oh, my chest. And then Harley, whatever the little kid's name is.
Harley, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
He sends him into one, too. It always is funny to me when children yelling at adults sends them into, like, panic attacks in movies. Especially yeah. one like Tony, with all of his attitude. That kid read Tony so well, too, the way that he was like, you always do it, too, when Tony's rat, like, he's like, you don't tell people that you did the good thing. You just, you know, you'd be cool about it. He's like, you always do it. And he does it so many times in the movie leading up to that, even to the point where Pepper, like, stopped the ceiling from falling. She's like, I got you. He's like, I got you first. Like, there's rubble. We're dying. There's another bomb coming. And you just needed to get in there. But I got you first. Yeah, get her. Get out of here. And he just keeps doing it.
Yeah.
And that kid's like, you do it all the time.
I love that. Yeah, I love that. Don't gloat when you do something. It makes you feel grandiose. He says.
That's it.
It's really good. I'm just sitting here thinking a lot about this, like, idea of him and his sort of, like, I said addiction earlier, and, like, I think it's there. Definitely there's, like, some addictive behavior with the suits, but also she calls it a distraction, and, like, I think that's very appropriate, too. But it's weird, because, like, there's a few scenes that, like, almost mixed messages, and I wonder if the director has a complicated relationship with this idea, or the writer, and it's like he's in the suits, he's like building suit after suit after suit after suit as a way of distracting himself from the imminent threat that's in his head all the time, but he's also building the suits because it is an actual possible solution to that threat, i.e. Right. Ultron in the next his next appearance. So like he's It's really interesting. So he can like justify it to himself. He's like, no, I'm not distracted. I'm like, it's like, you know, when you're like life is hard and sometimes it's just nice to like bury yourself in work, especially creative work. Mm-hmm. You just bury yourself in creative work and you're like, it's like, it's keeping the wolves at the door. You know what I mean? And so there's that whole idea with him like being distracted, but then they also have the scene where he's having a panic attack and the kid and he's like, having a panic attack because he realizes his suit isn't charging and he's not going to get his suit.
Oh, in the car.
Yeah.
he hits the brakes. He's like, ooh.
Yeah. And the kid's like, well, you're a mechanic. Like, do what you do. Build something. And then he immediately composes himself. So there's something confusing there where it's like thematically.
I will say that was by the end of the panic attack. So up till then, he was starting to figure out how to work through them. Because the kid does tell him, like, just breathe. And then do it. And so he's pulling himself out of it. Because that's, like, the fourth or fifth one by that point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm not really talking about the panic attack so much as the, like, idea that he's, like, is building something good for him or bad for him?
It's
kind of like what I'm getting at. It's like, because the whole movie, it's treated as this crutch that he's using as a distraction. But then also in that moment, it's like, no, you just need to do what you do. And is the kid saying, like, distract yourself on purpose to get through this? But then Pepper, his partner, sees it as like a big problem. It's just an interesting, and I think it's a very real look at sometimes how we like pour ourselves into our work when life is falling apart. You kind of pour yourself into something you can control.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's a useful coping mechanism. And sometimes it's it can be a really bad behavior that's like you're putting off the real stuff you need to deal with, you know?
Well, you know, it's so funny when you just said that, I remembered that between now and Ultron, he creates the entire Iron Legion.
Yes. Yes.
So somebody didn't stop doing anything.
Yeah. Well, he says in, I think, Endgame, or Infinity War, maybe, he gave up Iron Man, and then the whole Hydra thing happened. And so he realized, like, all these people that he was kind of trusting with the world, the S.H.I.E.L.D.,
yeah,
he was sort of, they were the S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, they were the S.H.I.E.L.D. around the world, our suit of armor around the world, as he calls it. They were supposed to be the S.H.I.E.L.D., and then, like, when they fall apart and you find out they're Hydra, and they're actually trying to just, you know, do the opposite of protect the world, it, like, it makes him come back because he needs it back in his own hands again. Mm-hmm. So it makes a lot of sense why he would then start building the Iron Legion and all that stuff. But mm-hmm. And I was thinking the Iron Legion is kind of like, he says at the end of the movie, like, the suits were a cocoon. Now it's time to do something new. And he picks up the screwdriver. And I'm like, maybe the Iron Legion is like the thing that he's doing instead. But yeah. Mm-hmm. It's a little confusing because it's like, I think there's a different view of it from what happens in Ultron, where they just don't mention it, to what and how they explain it later is it feels a little like a little retconny to say,
yeah,
that he actually gave it up and then came back for the Hydra.
It also makes sense for why she breaks up with him and why she's gone out of the picture for the next two or three movies.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the only,
yeah,
headcanon I got there. Well, he's off with his super friends.
Well, it's also, it's that classic thing of, it's that classic trope that I'm sure they're trying to avoid. You know, like all the discourse that was happening on Breaking Bad, where like his wife just wants him to stop cooking meth and everyone was treating the wife really poorly online.
Oh, yeah.
Because like,
I didn't care for Skyler's character, but I didn't think he was supposed to.
Yeah, I didn't either. But there's a trope of the female partner wanting their husband to stop doing the thing they're great at.
Yeah.
And like, well, we want them to do the thing they're great at.
Just not meth, yeah.
Yeah, just not meth.
But make Tony suits, but keep them at the, you know, keep them in somewhere else. Not in the house. Never in the house.
Not in the house.
It's so hard to watch his house fall into the ocean. It's all fake, but I'm watching those cars going, no, oh, no. All that nice stuff. There goes the Christmas tree. No.
The piano slides down.
Yeah. And then that scene's really hard to watch when he gets barricaded at the bottom of the ocean by like the metal cords and then the mm-hmm. whole thing's just fallen on him. It reminds me, again, of Spider-Man Homecoming when Peter's stuck under the thing.
Yeah.
I don't like that stuff. That stuff makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, God, get out of there. His mask's filling up with water.
Yeah.
Can't watch The Abyss. Like, stuff like that's a problem.
Yeah, that is absolutely terrifying. The, like, the idea of being in the Iron Man suit and Jarvis saying, like, hold your breath. Get a big breath.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's terrifying. Absolutely terrifying.
That's such his fault, though. I'm like, why would you put your address out there, man? Mm-hmm. Why would you do it? What were you thinking?
Just total hubris.
Just total, yeah.
Which is interesting because that's the only real attack that Killian does the whole movie. Like, the rest of it is just, like, unintended explosions throughout this, like, whatever. Or are right. Are they, yeah.
I thought they were bombing the Chinese. Weren't they doing something? They were doing the terrorist attacks for the Mandarin, quote.
They say that, but they say two things. They said they're cover-ups because they can't control their dudes, and their dudes keep blowing up. So they're using the Mandarin to cover up their explosions.
Right, that's it.
Which there's really great, like, another clue to the mystery is in that first scene. They say it was at a military church. One of the first ones you hear about in the news. They're like, another Mandarin attack has happened at a military church service, and it's like it was just another place where a military man would have been. And that military man blew up. So a lot of these attacks he's doing look like attacks on America's military, but they're really just military men blowing up in different locations that are connected to the military.
That's true. Wait, the smart writing.
It really is. It's a tightly written script. Really, really tight. We mentioned earlier Jarvis needing to sleep. When I need to sleep, I turn to one thing. I turn to my trusty Beam Dream Powder. Sleep is the foundation for mental health and physical health. When you are sleeping well, you can perform at your best. Lack of sleep causes all kinds of crazy bad things. And Beams Dream Powder is a healthy hot cocoa for sleep. It is science-backed, and it is really, really amazing. Other sleep aids can cause next-day grogginess, but Dream contains a powerful all-natural blend of reishi, magnesium, L-theanine, melatonin, and nano-CBD to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and wake up refreshed. It's really great stuff, and it's just a wonderful ritual to spend your night doing. You put a little, make a little Beam Dream Powder, and you sip on it, and just feel the warmth of the end of the day.
Especially in this colder weather.
Yes, it helps you warm up and just feel comfy. And today, our listeners get a special discount on Beams Powder, their science-backed healthy hot cocoa for sleep with no added sugar. Better sleep has never tasted better. And the numbers don't lie. A clinical study, 93% of participants reported Dream helped them get better sleep. It's available in chocolate, peanut butter, cinnamon, cacao, sea salt, caramel, and only 15 calories and 0 grams of sugar. If you want to try Beam's best-selling Dream Powder, get up to 40% off for a limited time when you go to shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use MCUpod at checkout. That's shopbeam.com/MCUpod and use code MCUpod for up to 40% off. It's real tasty. Got to give it a try. I've still got a bunch more notes on this movie. What else do you want to talk about this movie?
We can talk about the plane rescue scene, which is so hilarious.
Yeah. It's a great rescue scene, but also just freaking awesome. The barrel of monkeys is,
yeah. Everybody grab your monkey.
I think about that every time I think about these series, and that's one of my signature Iron Man moments that I love, and I just think it's awesome.
He saves so many people, and I'm like, this wouldn't work, and then I'm like, actually, maybe it kind of would work. That was Miami, right? He just kind of drops everybody in the warm water.
Oh, yeah.
Glides them in.
But he can only carry 4 people, but he can slow down 13 people.
Physics, that's fine with me.
I love it. We've mentioned a lot that they, and I think this was to justify the amount of out of suit action there was going to be in this movie, but they have him working out a little more in this movie. And also, like, he has one of those like martial arts statue, like martial arts stations in his little man cave where he like, I just hit my microphone trying to do kung fu. Sorry about that. It also shows him using different like little, I don't know, martial arts style poses to get his Iron Man suit to come to him. Like, I don't know. It's just clear that he has been doing some mild amount of like effort into like being a better fighter.
Well, look at all the people he's around now. He's got to show up.
Cap asked him in the last movie, like, take off that suit of armor and what are you? And like, he's actually trying to do better. And it kind of, this movie shows like what he is without that suit. In a number of scenes.
Yeah, he nailed it. Really did cool. A good job. Yeah. See, he should have been telling Capel about that instead of Banner. Banner doesn't care.
What am I without the suit? I tried this whole movie.
Whole time. I saved the president. Where were you? You weren't here.
Yeah, that really does feel like an oversight that Cap is not like even mentioned or like... like, he doesn't do a call to S.H.I.E.L.D. or something.
Just something. Them check in, like, hey, let's see if Tony's actually dead or if we can lend a hand or...
yeah.
I don't know.
Here's a little headcanon. His last interaction with S.H.I.E.L.D. was them firing the nuke that he had to get rid of. You know what I mean?
That's like, true.
So, but we never
see that. Oh, yeah, we don't know that that's Hydra yet.
Yes. He doesn't know that it's Hydra yet. And also, like... we don't know. We never see a conversation between him and S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't think at the end of the movie. It's like the 6 of them are standing in the park. The S.H.I.E.L.D. agents aren't around. It kind of feels like they're a little pissed that like it's possible that they're a little pissed after what happened. You know?
Yeah. Meh. Yeah. Nick Fury.
Nick Fury wasn't involved with that.
And Renner. Like, where's Hawkeye? You'd think that would be a Hawkeye thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally.
You know how everybody kind of teams up in someone else's movie? Wouldn't this have been fun if it was him and Hawkeye, because you could still have Rhodey in it.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine with this humor how good that would have been.
It would have been really good. It's a really, really good point.
People might have warmed to Hawkeye a bit more.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
We didn't get enough of him. We got Hawkeye, the TV show.
The Hawkeye TV show is really good, and I think he'll be back for, like, the Young Avengers stuff and things.
Oh,
to, like,
God, do you think he's going to be training them?
I think that would be a pretty, like, solid call. Like, even, you know, I don't know, thinking about him going to, like, get Wanda when she's, like, in that, he's always been sort of like,
yeah.
And he was very, like, he's very inspiring to Wanda and Quicksilver in that scene in Age of Ultron. So, like, I just feel like he's a good, like, he would be a great role model for, like, Kamala and of course, Jeremy Renner is getting back to health. Like, I've seen him doing some really cool workouts and stuff. Like, he seems like he's
Oh, I guess it's been about a year since that. He did that right around Christmas.
That's right. Yeah. And it was a snow accident. So, yeah. I'm glad he's doing well. Or it seems like, from what I've seen, he's doing well. So he may be back, sooner than later. He may be one of the guys that sticks around for a while.
Yeah. I hope so.
I thought that scene with the vice president was really dark and interesting. Like,
did you notice that Jenna Ortega is his daughter?
No.
Little tiny Jenna Ortega.
Oh, that's funny. That's cute. No, I had no idea.
That vice president made me so mad. Vice President Rodriguez, you're a piece of I didn't say it. I bleeped myself, but I was so mad because I didn't see that coming at all.
Yeah.
When I first saw it. Yeah.
I love the, like, the political intrigue of that scene of him just like, yes, I'll call to make sure he's safe. And then he just puts the phone down. Everything's fine. Like,
you're like, oh, you snake.
It's just so subversive and fun. I really like it a lot.
But then they make him sympathetic as well.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because you see what you're like, oh, his daughter. And you're like, oh, well, now I get why he's doing it.
Well, that's what was so great. It's like, oh, man, this is a real, like, evil thing for the vice president to do. And then you see he, like, Killian put the screws to him in a different way. You know, like, he blackmailed him with his daughter's, like, limb being replaced or whatever. It's pretty wild. I really like that scene a lot. It's another element to this movie that I feel like is very adult and interesting and not, like, cookie cutter or clean cut. It's just this very, like, oh, why would he do that? And they give him, like, this complex, interesting reason. I think, and actually, as much as I hate that Killian says, I am the Mandarin at the end, I think that Killian's, and I kind of don't like him just in general. I love how complex and interesting his plan is and how much it, like, you know, you always joke about, like, people joke about, like, the Dark Knight and how the Joker's plan is so insane that, like, it shouldn't have worked. There's so too many things have to happen for this just right for this plan to be a thing. And a lot of movies are that way, where the villain's plan are just a thing for the hero to work through. This one did not feel that way. It felt like the plan is something that fell into place because, like, the whole plan with the fake Mandarin and all of that to, like, sell his wares, like, all of that stuff is just really, really cool. And to, like, get AIM off the ground or whatever. It's good stuff.
What did you think about Tony's fall in the Iron Man suit? Was from pretty high up in the air, and he rolled for a long time, and he seemed to be just fine in compared to what happens to Rhodey in Civil War. I was like, huh, because he fell from very high.
Yeah, I guess just how you fall, I would guess.
And that suit was not great. I was like, oof.
Yeah. Like, there's a lot of those moments where the Iron Man suit's like, and also, I will say this, like, I think that Rhodey's suit, part of the reason it falls and hits hard.
Yeah, it's just,
and it doesn't seem like it's working anymore. Like, I have to assume the Iron Man suit has some active, like, ability to, like,
stop you,
blunt trauma or whatever. Yeah, like, kind of slow you down before you stop. But the Rhodey's suit was off. It was just completely off, and just, like, it hit like bricks into the ground.
Yeah.
One thing I really hate about this movie, another moment that I do hate about this movie. The whole we create our own demons thing,
Oh, yeah. It should have been like, actions have consequences.
Well, I thought We Create Our Own Demons was going to be deeper than it was. And maybe it was. Maybe it has something to do with his Iron Man suits, too.
And like, his panic attacks and that, like, everything.
Yeah, but that's not really... He didn't create those panic attacks. Like, he like, went through a thing.
Well, when you push down and you don't deal, that's when that stuff kind of comes out. So he wasn't dealing with anything.
Yeah, I guess that's true. It just feels like... And they highlight that line a few times, and that Aldrich Killian is the demon that he created. And it just... And it feels... It feels so surface level for the theme of the movie. And it feels very unclear if you try to make it more like emotional or whatever. Mm-hmm. But if you talk about it as it's Aldrich Killian as the demon he's talking about, it's like, I don't know, man. It just feels thin or something. Yeah. Like it feels too surface level.
It's a fire demon. I mean, I did laugh when Killian was like, Dracarys! And Rhodey's like, did you just breathe fire? And I'm like, okay, we're going off the rails here, gentlemen. Let's bring this back. Let's ground this again.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, man. I had a few, like, funny lines that I really liked.
Do it. I do, too.
I really liked, is that all you got? A cheap trick and a cheesy one-liner? Lady... That could be the name of my autobiography.
I liked her. She was sassy and she was a problem.
She was. All the extremist soldiers, like all of those scenes, I feel scary. Like the visuals of them are scary. They're very much like
monsters. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I really like all the action in this movie a lot.
I like when Maya shows up at the house and it's like, are we at Ding Dong? We're supposed to be on total lockdown. My favorite part about that scene for behind the scenes stuff is they have an entire like 2 foot high plank built around the entire living room there for Tony or for Robert Downey Jr. to walk on so that he doesn't look shorter than the other two females in the room. You can see the pictures. They built like a whole plank for him to walk on. I'm like, that's just funny. Own it, RDJ.
Yeah.
No, it's very funny to see like a whole second floor.
Oh, that's funny.
Just built for him.
I really liked when he says Einstein slept 3 hours a year. Like, it just so isn't true, but it's a very, very funny thing to, like, it's a very funny thing to make up. Because a lot of people also, like, say quotes from Einstein that aren't Einstein and stuff like that. Like, that just use Einstein as, like, he's a smart guy, so he said this, and I'm going to believe it. It's just a funny thing to, like, throw in there. I really like it a lot.
Yeah. I usually don't like, I know a lot of people love them. I have no soul. So, like, when he's, like, get lost, Squidward. Like, I roll my eyes. But when he said, you like that Westworld to the guy in this one, I lost it. Because that was, like, a dead on. I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. And he's watching Westworld. Of course Tony Stark would watch Westworld. Like, you'd think he would have learned.
Of course. He has to. It's perfect.
And Happy's watching Downton Abbey.
Ugh. Uh-huh.
Ugh. I would push a nurse out of the way, too.
Yeah, really, really funny and weird. Like, that being his final moment of the movie, they don't really get a good, like, touching thing. I mean, you do. You get the thing where he's in there and he's like, protect my boy. Like, he's like, my men have got you. Like, no one's going to get through here. And he leaves and goes and threatens the Mandarin. But you don't really get a touching reunion. You just get that, like, joke line at the end or joke moment at the end where he pushes the nurse out of the way.
Yeah.
I like the Tony Stark super fan in the van, Gary.
Oh, Gary. Gary was the best.
I like that actor from sitcom. I think he was on Happy Endings, if I'm not mistaken.
I didn't watch it.
It's good, and he was good on it.
I'm like, is that how I... Like, I'm like, that's me. I mean, I don't have all the tattoos, but I'd be like, oh my God. Like, yeah. I've based my whole life around you, man.
I feel like getting that exact tattoo would be really funny, like... Yeah. Easter egg for
like
people.
I know it looks a little weird because it's from a puppet or whatever. It's from a doll I made.
I think. Really fun.
Gary meets Tony.
I really liked when Tony accuses Pepper or says accusingly, so you're having drinks with Aldrich Killian, And I really love that the Iron Man suit looks over at her and looks like it's shocked.
She's like, what? That's so the good. Little things. When Rhodey's reading his password out loud and everybody around him laughs.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, he's in the people with the people from Pakistan. They're all like, yes.
So good. And I like that. I don't know what kind of joke this is, but it feels funny because Rhodey is so sort of straight-laced. The fact that his username is War Machine 68.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is really funny. That's because it's like, clearly the joke would be War Machine 69, but he wouldn't make that joke. That's not a joke. That's a joke Tony would make. But making it 68, I feel like highlights the fact that, like, he's not going to make the 69 joke. I don't know. Something about that seemed really funny to me.
Yeah, it's... Oh, God. It's very Rhodey.
Very Rhodey. And I don't even understand why. It just is. It's very, very Rhodey.
The part where Tony locks the hot chicks in the bathroom after Trevor just took a massive dump in there is the second funniest part of this entire movie.
I did not catch that, but that's really funny.
Oh, you didn't? Yeah, they go in there. They're like, oh, gross.
Oh, that's funny. I didn't catch it. I don't know why. I remember him saying, don't go in there for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And then I remember him locking them. I just didn't, my brain didn't connect it. That's really funny. Oh, gosh. I love Trevor Slattery. He's like, especially on my first viewing of this movie, like, he was the thing that, like, I loved most about this movie. I love it, love it, love it. Looking back, like,
you should have hit the panic button. He's like, well, I panicked and then I handled it.
Yeah. he's such a weird drug addict dude. Like, I just love it. And I love that he came back for Shang-Chi. It's so weird that he's in that movie.
It is. It's nice. I think they knew that everybody liked him and nobody would care if we saw him again. Everybody would be fine with it.
Yep.
He was great. Did they say in that how they got him out of jail and got him there? Do you remember?
Yeah, it's in a short.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember
the short? I couldn't remember.
It's, oh gosh, what's the short called? It's one of the, like, one shots or whatever that
they
did.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a guy interviewing him. It's a journalist interviewing him about being, if you haven't seen it, it's called All Hail the King.
Yeah,
and
I completely forgot where.
Really, really
I knew
great.
It was somewhere. I just couldn't remember where it was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's in the one shot. Okay. But for those of you who haven't seen it, like, the journalist ends, spoiler alert, the journalist ends up being like a servant of the real Mandarin. And he's like, captures Trevor and breaks him out of prison to go bring him to real justice for the real Mandarin to get his hands on him for impersonating him. It's pretty
how awesome. Much longer did that take to come out after this movie?
Oh man, this was 2013, so that was like 2021 maybe.
Oh, okay. So, like, so they already had it fully in mind with their okay. I thought that they did that maybe. I can't remember when this came out.
Oh, the one shot I think came out on the DVD of this movie. Oh,
okay, so then 3. They were like, okay, we're going to fix
fix
this Mandarin problem.
This is weird, but I met the people. So in the one shot, it's the guy's interviewing Trevor Slattery, and he tells about his life. He talks about other acting jobs he's had, and they show clips of an old, like, TV show he was on, and he's, like, running around, like, being a cop or something. It's like Ben Kingsley pretending to be Trevor Slattery, pretending to be like this weird cop show. It's very funny.
I'm a dude playing a dude's playing another dude.
Always fun. Always fun. But I was in Atlanta one time. And I think I've told this on the podcast before. I think I told it when it happened, but I was in Atlanta one time and I sat down at the bar and I was talking to these like two ladies and they're like, oh yeah, we work in like set design. And I was like, oh, really? What have you worked on? And she's like, we've worked on the few things from Marvel, you know, they do in town. And I was like,
you're like,
oh.
I had to, like, another round for these ladies.
I totally was. Everything. I was like, get these girl shots. And I was like, tell me what have you worked on? And they were like, oh, well, you probably wouldn't have heard of it. And I was like, I promise that I likely have. And they were like, it was called All Hail the King. And I was like, oh my gosh.
Oh my God.
And I freaked out on them. And they were like, okay, we've never met a huge fan of the very specific thing we worked on before. But they were the set designers for the 70s shots in All Hail the King. And I was like, that is so specific. And I am the person who is I'm such a huge fan of that work. Good job.
Awesome. It's That's amazing. So fun.
It was so cool. There's so many people that work on these movies. Anyone that it works on it, it's just so cool to meet them. And, like, it's crazy. I really like when Trevor gets caught and he says, "There are people I'd like to roll on immediately."
Immediately.
He's like, "I am ready to turn. I have no allegiance to this." Oh, it's so good. Eh, that's my notes. What do you got anything else?
I see. Not too much more. I love when Rhodey says in that scene, he's like, "Tony, I swear to God, I'm going to blow his face off," when they're trying to get the information out of him. The three of them together. It's just gold.
It's such gold. It's such gold, but it's also very Rhodey. Like, Rhodey's a military man.
He's Philly.
Yeah. But he's also this military man. This guy is like the terrorist right now. You know, he's like the terrorist threat to America. And he's like, "I will just shoot this guy. Like, I have no qualms." This guy is terrible. And then it just takes him a minute to get it. It's really good.
When the Iron Man suit couldn't come out of Harley's garage,
yeah,
what does he throw on the chains? I was very confused about that. I'm like, where did you get like hydraulic acid or was water? I don't know.
I have no idea. Yeah, I was wondering about that too. It feels like something explodes onto it or something.
Yeah, I didn't see Tony give him anything like that, or something that wouldn't be in the garage.
Right. Yeah. I really don't know. Okay. What that happens.
Not alone
there.
On that. I do love that Tony Stark gave that kid's garage a Queer Eye makeover, though. Oh, the car, the games, everything. I was like, oh, and he even had the little the door watch.
Oh, the door watch is great.
I love that scene when he's fighting with the two goons, and he's like, "How many miles between Miami and Tennessee?" And the guy's like, 800 and something something. And everyone's like, "Wow." He's like, "Yeah, that's kind of my thing." And you're like, "What?" Whose thing is that?
Again, that feels such a Shane Black thing. Like, having the goons have specific like traits and personalities is just very Shane Black. I love that.
I like it. I loved it so much. Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
they had a lot of bait and switches in this. Like, I guess that wasn't even Tony who saved all the people from the plane. It was an empty show because it gets hit by the truck.
Yes.
I was not expecting that either.
No, there's a bunch of stuff like that. And the is kind of mysterious. Like, how are they going to... The scene before, they set up the mystery of, like, we got to make a decision. We can't do both. We can't save the president and save Pepper. And so they send the suit to save the president, and they're going to stay there and try to go save Pepper. And then the president ends up getting brought to them, which I thought was really cool, too, because the Iron Patriot suit leaves the plane, and you... I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, you don't know that the president is in it until it gets to the location in Miami.
Until he's all tied up, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it's really good. It's really, really good.
It is good. I love Pepper's line of, "Oh, God, that was really violent."
Yeah, I love it, too. I love it, too. There's so many good
lines. She looked great in this, though. I'll give it to her. She was gooped out, Gwyneth, and this one was at peak goopness.
Why don't you wear this kind of stuff around the house?
Yeah, sort
of
I love you. Support. Oh, what? Are you mad at me? That's the best. Or the sports bra.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah. Good stuff. That's all I got. I guess Stan Lee was at the pageant, and there was our Stan Lee sighting.
Yes. I would love for them to do more stuff like this in the MCU, but I get why. I mean, I obviously get why the tone creeps towards the stuff it does, because they're trying to make these like four quadrant movies that fit for everybody. But this one is just like a specific tone that I really like, you know, and I've liked in so many other movies that Shane Black has made, and it's just fun. And that's Jeff's thing about this movie, is he's always talking about how like it's a good Shane Black movie, but it's not a good Iron Man movie. And I think like there's something to be said for that, but like I don't think we should restrict Iron Man to like being a specific tone. Like, I like that it can drift. I like that these Marvel movies can drift into like
it would have been
territory.
Very interesting to have Jeff here, because I would have been very much on your side in this.
Oh yeah,
but I don't pit those two movies against each other, because I like something about each of them. Like I said, I like Thor: The Dark World until I don't, and we will get into that next week or next time.
Or like, actually, yeah, it'll probably be a few weeks. Very soon, though. Yeah, we're doing. Next thing we're going to be doing, I think, is, I guess in a few days, we're going to be dropping
your What If
episodes. Boom, 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 every day. So we'll be back with that, guys. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Hey, you just listened to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast from Stranded Panda. I really hope you liked it. Let me just say a big thank you To all of our supporters on patreon.com/mcucast, you are the lifeblood of our little operation here, and a huge, huge thank you to our insanely generous Illuminati tier patrons, Walter Kreisky III, Lieutenant Bongo, and Jazz Viz. You guys are amazing. If you'd like to see our beautiful faces, you can catch a video version of many of our episodes at youtube.com/strandedpanda. Love you 3000, my friends.